Warning: The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
We need to proceed to interrogate them, which you couldn't do, obviously, with a Christmas bomber. I mean, Larry King would have a more thorough interrogation of one of his witnesses than the Christmas bomber had by the Justice Department. This is really dangerous nonsense.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, like a sleeve all day.
It is the Savage Nation. We've survived another weekend. To me, the weekends are harder than the week. I don't know about you. Well, here we are. Let's see. What do we have for you? Well, how about this one from San Francisco? Pelosi's children and grandchildren used military jets as cross-country shuttle service so they could avoid dealing with the rabble. We actually have the dates that Ms. Pelosi and her children requisition military jets for their private use. Now, what if a Republican had done this? Hey, all the while the threat from the Hitler of Iran, she's requisitioning Air Force jets the way the Politburo used to do that in the ex-Soviet Union. Pagans get worship space at New York Military Academy. Did you hear? At the Air Force Academy? The Air Force Academy will add a worship area for followers of earth-centered religion, pagans, with a dedication ceremony scheduled for March 10th. Wicca, you see, is the largest religious group in the Air Force after Christianity. You didn't know that, did you? And you wonder why the Navy can't fire a shot. This is the Savage Nation. I want to welcome Extra Sports 860 AM in San Francisco. In fact, it's my new affiliate in my hometown. I was over there today. We had lunch in my favorite gooey Chinese restaurant afterwards. So if my lips are not moving as quickly as normal, you'll have to explain it away by the curry sauce. For the first 10 callers from my new affiliate in San Francisco, 860 on the dial, a free copy of Banned in Britain. A free copy of Banned in Britain to the first 10 callers from 860 on the dial in San Francisco. Here's another headline from the city everyone loves to hate. Here's the local newspaper says, unconventional time for the city. That doesn't make any sense, does it? Does that make any sense to you? What does that mean? Hotel room bookings for conferences in San Francisco are down 16%. Does anyone out there have any ideas why hotel bookings might be down for San Francisco? Let's start with some of these ideas. How about the hotel tax? Then on top of that, how about the 4% tax for health care so that they can give free medical care to illegal aliens and every bum on earth? How about the left-wing bums who protest the hotels? How about the filth and the bums in the streets? How about the hostile workers in San Francisco? Anything else to drive people away from San Francisco? And now, of course, the libs are screaming, oh, the hotel bookings are down. Where's our money going to come from for our protest marches? And where's our money going to come from so we can continue to hate the visitors to our beautiful city? I mean, we hate the rubes who come from everywhere. We hate them, but where's their money? We don't really want to work for a living. Oh, you stupid sons of guns, you schmucks. You schmucks on the left, go get a real job. What do you mean bookings are down in San Francisco like it's a shock? Who wants to come to this cesspool? You have any ideas why people are not coming, you left-wing maniacs? You hate business. You hate tourists. You got bums in the street. You put taxes upon taxes upon taxes. All the workers in the city hate the tourists. Anything else to drive people away? 10 free books to the first 10 callers from my new affiliate in San Francisco. It's an all-sports station, by the way. I was cutting the commercials this morning. And you want to hear a little back room chatter here? You want to hear my ad for TV that's going to run all over San Francisco? It should run nationally, by the way. It's like this. It was a 15-second spot. I'm looking at the camera, and I'm wearing my Savage Nation hat, and I said, hey, schmuck, I'm Michael Savage. Don't you understand that sports are like politics? Either you're safe or you're out. I call him like I see him. Don't be a schmuck. Listen to the Savage Nation. Whether they'll run it or not, I don't know. San Francisco, James, welcome to the Savage Nation on 860. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael, just glad you're back on the local airwaves, and it's great hearing you again.
Now, did you switch over from another station, or did you stop listening altogether?
No, I switched over from another station.
Good, good, good. Well, you get a free copy of Band in Britain. San Francisco, Taylor, 860 on the dial. Go ahead, please. By the way, people, you can call from anywhere in the country, not just from San Francisco. If you've come to San Francisco and left in disgust, tell us why. If you still love the city, tell us why. If you have any idea why conventions are running away, tell us why. Remember, I love this city. But we've got to get rid of these left-wing vermin, or this city will be out of business. You hear me? Taylor, welcome to the show.
Hey, great to be back in the tent, Dr. Savage.
In the tent. I love it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I stayed true and tried with the other station we were listening to. It was a little fuzzy. And I got to say, the best reception we had was during those lightning and thunderstorms when the weather...
how's the signal on 860? It's 50,000 strong watts, you know.
It's great. I'm listening to it on a personal little...
Do you know how strong 50,000 watts is? Taylor, do you know that I just put light bulbs on my boat? I blew out some bulbs. I had to go buy a 24-volt, 10-watt bulb. Now, let's see. 10 watts is to 50,000 watts, as Michael Savage is to talk radio. Am I the 10-watt or the 50,000-watt talker? Stay on the line. You win a free copy of Band in Britain. By the way, I got to tell you something. This is amazing to me. We're talking about the news of the day. Pelosi requisitioning military jets for her own personal use and those of her children. Now, I don't know the details as to why I was abruptly pulled off the air in San Francisco before the election, but I pretty much think it has something to do with Nancy Pelosi. I pretty much think that it was political rather than any other reason. I have my reasons to believe that. Let me read you some of the documents obtained by Judicial Watch by the director of blueblogspot.com. If you think we're making this up about Pelosi, listen to this. And I want one liberal listening to this show to say you're not disgusted. February 22, 2007, a military jet is used for the travel needs of the Speaker's son, Paul Jr. April 13, 2007, a military jet is used for the travel of the Speaker's daughter, son-in-law, and grandson. June 15, 2007, a military jet is used for the travel needs of the Speaker's son, Paul Jr. July 9, 2007, a military jet is used for the travel needs of the Speaker's son, Paul Jr. January 13, 2008, a military jet is used for the travel needs of Paul Pelosi, Jr., son of the Speaker. September 29, 2008, a military jet is used for the travel needs of Paul Pelosi, Jr., son of the Speaker. October 30, 2008, a military jet is used for the Speaker's daughter and a son-in-law, Peter Kaufman. November 25, 2008, a military jet is used for the Speaker's daughter, her son-in-law, and two grandchildren. Ladies and gentlemen, I rest my case. Do you think this is appropriate? Do you think this is appropriate? Yes or no? 1-800-449-8255. By the way, call us from around America. You can also join in. We have another couple of great topics for you, including the fact that the Hitler of Iran, that's right, your good friend Ahmadinejad, the good friend of Sean Penn, the good friend of the vermin in the media, Ahmadinejad, the man who hates Jews and hates Israel, has threatened to teach the West 11 on February 11th. And guess what? One dirty nuke can ruin your day. We don't know what it might be. We don't know what surprise he may have in order. But why is he saying that February 11th he's going to teach the West 11, the West a lesson? What does February 11th signify to the Hitler of Iran? February 11th, you see, is the anniversary of the so-called Islamic Revolution in Iran that brought a generation of haters into power. The Hitler of Iran says that he will deliver a harsh blow to global arrogance. The dictator in elevator shoes did not elaborate on what he meant by this. You have any idea what he might do on February 11th? 1-800-449-8255. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Ted, San Francisco, 860. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Yes, this is Ted. We had some static there, but welcome aboard. Thank you for getting a station that is without static as one of the other listeners. I've been with you for a long time.
Great. Well, how did you find out I was on this station? Is it from my website, no doubt?
Yes,
my website's one of the greatest engines in the history of radio. Stay on the line, Ted. You win a free copy of Band in Britain. Do you know that I have over 1.7 million unique visitors to michaelsavage.com? That is a powerful tool to reach America. Look, I know about Facebook. I know about Twitter. I shut it down last week, both of them, because I said, what do I need this for? I'm not like a social networker. But then I reinitiated it again today because I realized it may become of some use to me when I need it for certain business and other reasons very shortly. 1-800-449, any city in the country, by the way. Virginia, here we go. She wants to talk about San Francisco. Michelle, welcome. You're on the Savage Nation. Dr. Now, what are you calling about, Michelle?
My two favorite things in the world are sports and Dr. Savage.
You know how many people have told me that they're not mutually exclusive? I really didn't know that. Remember I used to ridicule people with their hats on backwards?
Yes, I sure do. And their pants.
The only people who look good in baseball hats, you know who they are?
Who's that?
Sexy women with ponytails sticking out of the back of a baseball hat.
Okay. Doesn't appeal to me, but, you know.
I mean, the baseball has to be one of the hardest things to make a person look good in. So, Michelle, what station are you listening on in Virginia?
WTNT-AM, and it's a sports.
Oh, you're out of Washington, D.C., the home of Obama and his minions.
Yes. I tell you, it's really tough living here in this day and age.
Have you run into any one of the several hundred personal servants that Michelle Obama has? I know she's into green things, Michelle, and growing vegetables in the backyard of the White House. Are you aware she has more personal assistants in attendance than any first lady in history? Are you aware of that?
That's what I'd heard, and, you know, on top of it, the
Oh, yeah. Not reported in USA Away, no, or any other than newspapers that nobody reads. She has more assistants than any first lady in history. I wonder why. Thank you for the call, darling. 1-800-449-8255. Back to San Francisco. Ryan, thanks for listening on 860. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Mike.
Yes, how's my signal? How strong is this signal?
I'm glad to see you back in San Francisco.
I wish you'd get something other than a cell phone. Stay on the line. Get me somebody without a cell phone. Ron, line 8, go ahead, please. What's on your mind, Ron? What's on your mind, Ron? What's on your mind, Ryan?
Hey, thanks for coming back, Dr. Savage. I've been missed too for years. You have instructed me since the first election. I wanted to learn about politics. I'm a Latin Hispanic that goes to, actually, I go to a bilingual church, and get this, Dr. Savage, I've trained, learned the language, put my heart out there for these guys. They try to vote me out, vote my salary out because, just for a lot of strange reasons, but it's going on in churches too here, Dr. Savage, and I...
Why, you mean because you're a conservative, they're against you?
No, it was more of an issue of
Well, you know what? We're going to make your day today, Ron. We're sending you a free copy of Band in Britain. Stay on the line. I want to say one thing before we go to the first quick break here on the Savage Nation. On my virgin outing here in San Francisco in a couple of months now, it's good to be a virgin again. It felt like old times for me. I had lunch with the guys at the new station in my favorite Chinese restaurant at 11 o'clock in the morning after shooting the commercial with the makeup. I'm still trying. Why do they all say to you, you can wash the makeup off? It's water soluble, and it won't come off no matter what you use. I don't understand that. I'm in an Italian restaurant over the weekend back in Marin County, and there's a Hispanic cook who loves me. Now, this guy, you'd say, all Hispanics don't like him because the left says so. The left are liars. Don't you understand they lie to you about everything? This guy loves me. He says, Michael, he tried to send me a free dessert, but I'm on no sugar. You know, I heard that this fellow started as a dishwasher and worked his way up to a line cook, and now he's a chef. Do you have any idea how appealing that is to me as an immigrant son when I see people coming here, working hard and moving up in society that is so much better than Obamacare, so much better than welfare, so much better than the great society? There's no greater society than the individual willing to work. I'll be right back.
Savage.
As the drive hits the deep right field, that ball is going, it is gone. Maris, hitting his second home of the day. Yankees.
Take me out to the Savage Nation. Here we are, all sports and me. Time will tell whether it works. I think it will. I think there's a great crossover. Why? Well, as I said, a lot of people who tune into sports have tuned out of politics because they feel it's a rigged game and they don't want to listen to it. They figure all politicians are liars and, you know, you can't blame them. But they haven't heard me. They don't understand that I call them like I see them, and maybe they want that perspective. For example, I'm going to play something for you now that you're not going to believe it. I was the only, remember Scott Brown won in Massachusetts 2 weeks ago? And all of a sudden, the conservatives went crazy. They Obama-sized him. He was the Messiah. Oh, they went crazy. But I am a realist. I have my feet to the ground. I have one eye on the stars and one eye on reality. Let me tell you, I said, not so fast. He's going to disappoint you. You're going to get 60% of what you want out of Scott Brown, 40% of which he's not going to give you. Did you hear what he said over the weekend? Here is Scott Brown with saying he's in favor of abortion. Listen to 01.
You know, Roe v. Wade is the law of the land, but I think we need to do more to reduce the amount of abortions. And the difference between me and maybe others is that I'm I'm against partial birth abortions. I'm against federal funding of abortions. And I believe in a strong parental consent notification law. And we should do more for adoptions.
But you're still pro-choice.
Yes, because I feel this issue is best handled between a woman and her doctor and her family.
Okay, a woman and her doctor and her family are exactly the words that Planned Parenthood and Barbara Boxer have used for 25 years. But his voice, his delivery is superb, I must say. He has wonderful empathy in his voice, and I know in America that's all that matters. Now, I don't want to get into the whole abortion debate. There's three topics that'll kill talk radio, maybe four now. One is guns, two is UFOs. Three is abortion, and four is, there's another topic, I won't even mention it, but there's three or four topics. The minute you mention them, people go berserk, and it becomes horrible radio. And I'd rather not do it, so there's an example of Scott Brown. And don't expect more from him than any politician is willing to give you, okay? That's all there is to it. We got bigger fish to fry than believing in a man. A man is a man, you know? A man is a man. A man is going to disappoint you. No matter who the person is, I don't care who it is. It's inevitable they will disappoint you at some point in your life, and you're going to disappoint somebody in their life. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter who you think you are, nobody is God. That's the way God set it up. Don't you understand? You're just a person. You're fallible. You make mistakes. You're going to disappoint people. Scott Brown is no different. Maybe he's more on the right side than on the left, but all right, that's the most we can hope for today. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Savage. Visit TRNCentral.com, your one stop for news and all things talk radio. That's TRNCentral.com.
I left my heart in San Francisco.
It is the Savage Nation. You can change the tune as you go along to I Left My Mind in San Francisco, if you wish. Doug likes my jokes. So I'm on a new station. I'm excited. Pardon me. Pelosi's monumental abuse of military aircraft. Now, if it was a Republican using aircraft that belonged to the U.S. Air Force to shuttle her grandchildren and her son around, I think that that Republican senator would be out of business and in jail. But no, not Madam Pelosi, because you see, she runs her as though it's the Politburo in the former Soviet Union, where I'll do what I want and damn you. And, of course, you liberals don't care because you know you're all hypocrites. Trends point to November earthquake and a partisan realignment. U.S. missile test mimicking Iran's strike fails. That's terrible news. Did you hear this? The Pentagon tried a test against the alleged, like the equivalent of Iranian missiles, right? Like a setup. And our ability to stop the incoming missiles failed. That's because they're too busy wondering about affirmative action and making certain that they don't offend anybody in the military. They can't worry too much about actually shooting down incoming missiles or, let's say, blowing pirates out of the water. They're too busy worrying if they're going to get fired for insulting Muslims, for example, like Mayor Hassan. You know, the Fort Hood guy, the nice Mayor Hassan, who for 3 years they knew he was a firecracker about to go off. And he went off, killed 13, injured 20, 30 people. And nobody got fired for that. He screamed Allah Akbar before he killed people, innocent people. And the defense secretary says there's no relationship to terrorism. We have no. That's because Madam Pelosi, of course, is not interested in that either. She said if we have to pole vault in, we'll pole vault in. She's talking about health care. Whatever we have to do, we have to go through a wall, we'll go through a wall. We have to go over the wall, we'll parachute in. She doesn't have the same passion for defeating Al-Qaeda, does she? But she has such a passion for destroying the world's greatest healthcare system. And that's why the country is screwed. San Francisco, 860 on the dial. Bill, welcome to the program.
Hey, Dr. Savage, it's a pleasure to hear you on the radio again out here. I want to say I think it's a good combination. You in sports, they're one of the few places where men are allowed to still be men. And I wonder, what do you think about that?
Are men allowed to scream in stadiums without being taken in on charges of being too masculine and having expressed too much testosterone, like rage?
I'll be honest, with this economy, I can't afford to go to any live games anymore, but I think men, I think sports...
You know what we got to do for listeners like you, Bill, is I got to requisition free tickets from the sports team that we're going to be with, the Oakland A's and others, and maybe they'll give out some free tickets on my show. But right now I'm giving you a free copy of Banned in Britain. Now let's go to a different city. Chicago. Pete, you're up on the Savage Nation. Welcome back. What's on your mind?
Hey, Savage. Isn't it hypocritical how this afternoon Obama defunded the next scheduled space mission, yet if they saved all...
Well, not really. When you consider that the reason he canceled all moon missions is because Governor Moonbeam might soon be in power in California. What do you need moon missions when you have Governor Moonbeam about to run the state of California further into the ground?
But if they had all the money from Nancy Pelosi's vacation flights, they could have went to the moon and back about 400 times.
Oh, touche. That's a good one. I wonder how much that would have cost if you actually add up Pelosi's requisitioning. Do you know how much it costs to fly these jets between $5,000 and $20,000 an hour? Let's say she took a cheap G5. That's $5,000 to $6,000 an hour. But let's say she took a 767 to keep up with the Google boys. Because after all, if the Google boys can afford one, why shouldn't she have one? Even though it's an Air Force plane that should be used for things like monitoring enemies, why shouldn't she use it to go to Washington back and forth or for her children, right? That's $20,000 an hour to fly a 767. Now, you add up all of these flights, it does add up to quite a bit of money. Have you ever known a speaker in the history of America to have requisitioned Air Force jets to this extent? I really don't. Perhaps I am mistaken. If I am mistaken, I will take this back. You win a free copy of Banned in Britain. Thanks for calling from Chicago, Pete. Norfolk, Virginia. LaVon, welcome to the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Hi, my topic is, I am a black woman who is also a breed. I am Native American, African, and Irish. So I guess I can relate to Obama, but I can't stand Obama and his policies. His policies do not stand for Americans. His policy stands for people with their hand out. We are a country that's built on giving people a hand up, not a hand out.
And sounds to me like you've been to a few tea parties and you've been listening to talk radio for a while, LaVon.
My ex-boyfriend turned me on to talk radio, and I love it. And it opened my eyes to a lot of things.
Talk radio, LaVon, talk radio is like a contact sport. It's like football. If it's done right, it's like football. Even when it's friendly, it's like a contact sport.
Right. And the thing was, I wasn't listening.
I mean, I feel I'm dancing with you right now.
Thank you.
Nobody ever heard that come out of me before. No, I mean, when you get some callers, even though you're agreeing with each other, there's a certain energy that can come out of a person where it's like you're on a dance floor together, two energy forces in the hemisphere of space.
And we're working in sync.
And now we're getting close to the truth. But since this is a family show, LaVon, we have to cut it off at that. I'm sending you a free copy anyway of Banned in Britain because the kids are listening and it's still daytime. San Francisco, Robert, welcome to the Savage Nation on 860. What's on your mind?
Michael, welcome back to Occupied San Francisco. We have missed you. I couldn't wait till February 1st. I'm so happy.
Now, I want to ask you one quick thing because there are people listening across America and many, many other wonderful cities and other stations. How did you learn that I was back on the air on this station, Extra Sports 860?
I saw it on a link from the Drudge Report a few weeks ago, and I've been counting down to February 1st.
Drudge linked it up?
I think it was a couple of weeks ago I saw it, and then I went and searched out 860.
I didn't know he linked it up. I was mad at him because he didn't.
I'm pretty sure, Michael, he did. Welcome back.
All right, well, who knows? The media is like a revolving door of you're mad at this one today, you like that one today, tomorrow you don't like him. It's like tilting at windmills in the media. Who's your friend? Who do you like? Who don't you like? Who do they like? Who said what to me? Who insulted me? Who covered me? Who didn't cover me? How much did they cover me? Did they slam me? Was it secretly a put-down? Was it a put-up? Do I like him? I love him today, but I didn't love him tomorrow. It's amazing. It's like tilting at windmills, as I say. Thank God I have a bit of the Don Quixote in me, but stay on the line. How's the signal, by the way, Robert?
It's great. It's a.
But people will, they'll find it eventually. This is going to be a lot of fun, Robert. Let's do one for the Gipper on this. The Gipper. Well, we got loads of callers out of San Francisco. I'd like to get a few out of other cities like Boston, New York, Atlanta. Florida would be nice. Chicago would be nice. Seattle would be nice. Portland would be nice. San Diego would be nice. This is a national show, after all. Heard on hundreds and hundreds of radio stations, 8 to 10 million listeners a week. And listen, I can't tell you the name of the magazine, but may I indulge you for a minute or two because I think you might be interested. I told you that after the New Yorker interview, which I liked, okay, you know I liked it because it was fair and they didn't paint me as a goat. So I get a major magazine about a month ago. I agreed to interview him. The guy comes out Friday night. I have him over to my house right after the show, 7 o'clock at night. Yes, in my house, not a restaurant, because I can't take background noise. You can't do an interview. Now, this is an 8,000-word long-form interview. He asks questions, I answer. So it's not that much of a setup possibility. It can be the way questions are formed or what the questions are, and I'm aware of that. And I don't know what it's going to be yet. I may wind up hating it. Nevertheless, okay. I figured the reporter's married and he has a child. That's like for a guy in the media from a left-wing publication, that's already 95% of the battle. So I have him to my house. I order sushi in, had sushi delivered, and we sit and talk. 7 o'clock it starts. Now, it's 10 o'clock at night. We hadn't stopped talking once. And I hear my clock ticking behind me. I have a lot of clocks in the house. I love pendulum clocks because I grew up in my father's antique store, so I buy a lot of antique pendulum clocks. You ever sit quietly in a house and listen to a clock ticking? I do, and it's beautiful. It's not like watching paint dry. It's one of the most simple meditations there is, and there are. So any above it, at around 10:15, I hear the clock ticking, and I feel something change in me. And what changed in me was the following. I said to him, I'll make his name Richard. I said, Richard, I don't know you, and I don't know what you're going to write, but I got to tell you something. First of all, he said, are you tired? I said, no. I said, I'm from New York, and I could talk all night. It wouldn't bother me after talking all day. As long as I'm speaking with someone who's intelligent and we have important things to talk about, there's no end to how much I have to say or want to say. So he said to me this, and I said to him that, and I said, you know what you feel like to me? You feel like somebody I knew when I was an undergraduate in college where I'd stay up till all night talking about politics or philosophy or science or whatever it was. We'd spend the whole night. I hadn't done this in 30 years. Now, the point of this conversation with you, my audience, is the following. We live in a world where none of us really get into a conversation at length with anybody. Think in your own life. How long has it been since you actually sat down and had a conversation? Meaning, someone says something, you answer. Someone asks something, you ask something. Remember what the word conversation means, with verse, back and forth. And something I learned a long time ago is this. The object of conversation is to keep it going. The object of conversation is not to beat the other guy. The object of conversation is not to stop the other man from talking. The object of conversation is to select your answers and your words to keep the conversation going. That's why I'm so good at talk radio, because I keep the conversation going. You get it? San Francisco, Eugene, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Eugene?
Yes, I'm just in the mission, and amongst other things he's had to deal with, the last thing was the tax when he and Ruby Sanchez went for a meal and they had that tax for the health care for the
I had a bowl of soup on Fisherman's Wharf last Sunday and they put 4% for city health tax on it on top of sales tax. I said, what is this? They said that it was added by Gavin Newsom to pay for illegal alien health care. I could not believe my eyes that they added 4% to the bill just to fund health care. And you know what goaded me? What got me really mad? Any Tucson Newsom, the mayor of San Francisco, had the nerve to be on the national media a few months ago saying, well, I've provided health care for all in this city. You ought to come to me for advice how to do it. Yeah, just keep putting businesses out of business. You'll have health care for all, Gavin. That's really smart. That's rocket science. And they wonder why people have stopped coming to the city?
Well, they discouraged it completely, Michael. And the parking. Besides that, a quarter for 8 minutes. I was in North Beach today, and it was eight minutes for a quarter. I had to run around.
Eight minutes for a quarter. And did you run over a bum or get spat on by a bum?
Well, they stay out of my way. And there were some guys making a pick over it. So the iron workers were there. And then I work in construction. They kind of stay out of our way.
You know? Oh, so you're a tough guy. I like that.
Yeah.
No, well, Gene, how long have you lived in San Francisco?
Oh, the area, 14 years. But my dad was 1917, Irish and Norwegian from San Francisco.
And do you feel, I mean, this is like a loaded question. Of course, we know everything's changed, so that's not a fair question. But the dramatic shift to the radical left in this city, do you think that that's truly liberalism?
Oh, no, and it's not liberalism. It's like you say, it's a socialism. But, you know, there's a hardcore...
That's exactly right. Liberalism is not socialism necessarily. And liberalism is not fascism at all. Liberalism should not dictate what I can say, what I can't say, what I can think, what I can't think, what I can do and what I can't do. But that's what liberalism has become in San Francisco, Berkeley, California, New York City, Austin, Texas. In fact, any major city has become a mini bastion of liberal fascism. You know that and I know that.
And it's a new fascism. It definitely is.
Well, how about the smoking ban? I could see a smoking ban in restaurants. Why would they ban smoking in bars when people who go to bars are electing to do so by their own free will? Why the hell should the government say you can't drink and smoke at the same time? Who the hell are these people to tell people what they can do? It's okay for the kid to get stoned on pot under the guise of medical marijuana, but his father can't have a cigarette and a beer?
Oh, yeah. There's places in the produce mart, Mike, opened at 4:30 in the a.m., and they went ahead and smoked there anyway until somebody turned them in. But there's pockets of resistance. And the old Irish...
Well, we need more than pockets of resistance. We need to take over City Hall, and we need to throw the bums out. And we got to start in San Francisco and get rid of this filth that's running the city into the ground. Gene, I'm going to send you a free copy of Band of Britain. Thank you so much for finding me on the new station. Extra Sports, 860 on the dial, 50,000 watts of flame throwing. I'll be right back.
Dungaree doll, paint your initials on my jeans, so everyone in town will know we go around
together, together, together.
Dungaree doll. Romance. We had romance. So it's all pornographic today. From Eddie Fisher to Lady Gaga in one blink of an eye. Welcome to the Savage Nation, 1-800-449. I don't even know who Lady Gaga is. The guy asked me, he's interviewing me the other night. He said, what do you think of Lady Gaga? I said, hello? I don't know who she is. I don't know. I mean, Lady Gaga, Shmaga. Here in San Francisco, for example, there's a story of... this is who they glorify. Adult film star Juliet Ann Peg Anderson dies at age 71. Juliet Ann Peg Anderson took the artsy aspect to new levels. They glorify her, in other words. From the time she entered the adult film industry, I love that phrase to begin with, in 1978 at the then unheard of age of 39, until she died January 10th of a heart attack at 71 at her home in where else but Berkeley, she tried to transform the seamy into acceptable sensuality for older people. She was the original cougar. They said. In other words, they're glorified. It gets even better. Now, this is from the local newspaper. In addition to her 80 hardcore porn films, so in other words, she's equal to, let us say, Tolstoy, Shakespeare. They're comparing her porn films, in other words, to the output, let's say, of a prolific author or a scientist, let's say, who published 70 or 80 groundbreaking papers in neurology or neuroscience. But in San Francisco, that she's in 80 hardcore porn films is actually better. She also worked as a relationship counselor. She lectured on sensuality and contributed essays to books such as The Sexual Healers, Women of the Light. In 1991, she developed and marketed a form of erotic massage. Then they end with, a public memorial will be held for the porn star at the Center for Sex and Culture in San Francisco. As I say to you, that's why I love the city. This is the city that keeps on giving. There's not a day that goes by that I'm not impressed with the insanity of the city. I am. I got to tell you that. That's why I love it so much. Combined with the beauty and a bum puking into a mailbox, there's nothing better. Ruth in New York on WOR, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael.
Now, where else can you get a city as beautiful as this where you can see a bum puking or defecating in a mailbox, and if you go up to them and you say anything, the cops arrest you? How much better can it get than that?
Oh,
you know why? Because it's his lifestyle choice to defecate in a mailbox. You understand, Ruth?
Oh.
According to San Francisco's ethos... A bum has the right to defecate in a mailbox. That's his lifestyle choice.
Well, I live in a little more sane area, an hour and a half away from New York City, in a town in Connecticut called Trumbull.
And, Trumbull, Connecticut?
Trumbull, not Trouble. T-R-U-M, oh. Like in Michael. B-U-L-L.
Isn't everybody in Connecticut troubled? Everybody in Connecticut's a troubled New Yorker, I think.
Well, I've been out long enough not to be too troubled to be out of it.
Well, you live in the land of Obama.
Not for me. And not for many of us.
All right, so Lieberman is from Connecticut. He struck a middle ground. So what are you calling about today from Connecticut on OR in New York?
I am calling to quote you George Orwell's quote about some are more equal than others.
And that refers, of course, to Madame Pelosi, where some animals are more equal than others in Animal Farm after the revolution, correct?
Philosophy. You know, Michael, I couldn't even look at the speech at the a couple of nights ago because...
Did you hear... Oh, you mean Obama's so-called State of the Union speech?
But you know what? I couldn't...
Have you seen the new video of him bowing to the mayor of Tampa, Florida, a woman? Have you seen that? It's on michaelsavage.com. The man actually bows from the waist as he gets Air Force One. Now, what is the bowing with Obama? I could see why he bows down to the King of Saudi Arabia. After all, a man gave him a gold necklace. I could see why he bowed down to China. They hold our notes. But why does he bow down to the mayor of Tampa, Florida? Does anyone know why?
Michael, I'm...
I know there were sponge divers there, but I don't understand what sponges have to do with Obama. Is there some relationship there that I can't put together?
I know
Santo Trafficante began in Tampa, and I don't think that has anything to do with the mayorship. Do you?
No. But what I do want
to... I watch too much television. You have to forgive me. Ruth, thanks for listening. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation, right here in San Francisco on 860, and everywhere else in the world, including the internet, to Moscow.
Savage. Visit TRNCentral.com, your one stop for news and all things talk radio. That's TRNCentral.com.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It's me. You're in the right place.
That ball is going. It is gone.
Oh,
we go through the gate. The gate's closed. We'll go over the fence. The fence is too high. We'll pole vault in. If that doesn't work, we'll parachute in. But we're going to get health care reform passed for the American people, for their own personal health and economic security. And the important role that it'll play in reducing
the debt. It's a Blue Monday for Nancy Pelosi. It has been exposed that Pelosi's children and grandchildren were using military jets as a shuttle service across America. It's all up from the blueblogspot.com. I linked it up on michaelsavage.com. It's shocking. Pelosi's monumental abuse of military aircrafts is just beyond comprehension. The documents were obtained by Judicial Watch's Freedom of Information Act, and the following manifests and travel requests were posted by them. February 22nd, 07, military jet requisition for the travel needs of the Speaker's son, Paul Jr. April 13th, 07, military jet utilized for the travel of the Speaker's daughter, son-in-law, and grandson. 15 June, 07, military jet used for the travel needs of the Speaker's son, Paul Jr. July 9th, 2007, military jet used for the travel needs of Pelosi's son, Paul Jr. January 13th, 08, a military jet is used for the travel needs of Paul Pelosi, Jr., son of Speaker Pelosi. September 29th, 2008, a military jet is used for the travel needs of Paul Pelosi, Jr., son of the Speaker. October 30th, 08, a military jet is used for the speaker's daughter and a son-in-law, Peter Kaufman. By the way, he is the son of the filmmaker, Mr. Kaufman, a very fine filmmaker at that. They landed on Easy Street, I suppose, now with military jets. What do you need, Southwest? November 25th, 2008, a military jet requisition used for the speaker's daughter, her son-in-law, and two grandchildren. Do you think it's appropriate for Pelosi to have requisitioned entire flights for the personal use of her children and grandchildren, that is unaccompanied by any member of Congress? Do you think that this is appropriate in a time of war when military resources are scarce enough? Do you think there is a connection between the imbalance of Nancy Pelosi, her arrogance, and the fact that we cannot win against Al-Qaeda because of the rules of engagement that have been imposed upon our boys in the field? Do you think there's any relationship between the missile tests failing over the weekend in a mimicked Iran strike and the military under Obama, where they're other directed with regard to so many other things other than actually how to knock missiles out of the sky? I think there is a direct relationship, ladies and gentlemen, between the ineffectual military that we have today, and I'm sorry to say it, and the radical left-wingers from the colleges running America off the cliff. This is the Savage Nation. Again, I want to welcome my new affiliate in my hometown of San Francisco. That is 860 on the dial. It's called Extra Sports because other than the sports teams that are on it and sports talkers, I am the only talk show host on the station in Afternoon Drive. Here's something interesting for everyone listening in America. You may not know this, but I'm not going to go into ratings and all of that, but there's a new rating system called People Meter. I guess I'm allowed to mention that. Everyone knows it. The People Meter has shown that Afternoon Drive has more listeners now than any other segment in the entire day part, if I heard it correctly. Afternoon Drive now attracts more listeners than any other time of the day. So we're now the kings of talk radio. And I'm so honored to have all of you listening to the show across America. Now let's go to the callers around America. Again, free books to the first 10 callers this hour from 860 on the dial in San Francisco. Of course, I want you to call from elsewhere in America as well. Let's begin with line one, Jim in San Francisco. Welcome to the Savage Nation, 860 on the dial. What's on your mind, Jim?
Hi, Michael. I'm just here to welcome you back to the Bay Area. I've been listening to you on the Sacramento station for quite a while now and have missed you ever since you left. I started out.
Jim, how did you find me? I want to know how you found that I was starting today on February 1 on 860. Where'd you find my website?
Nope. When you were talking about it last week on the other radio. Well,
the power of talk radio is amazing, Jim. It really is. And I'm so glad you heard me. Is the signal nice and strong?
I'm getting you loud and clear, Michael, and I've been losing you about sunset every day.
Well, you're not going to lose me at sunset or sunrise or at Mai Tai time. You're not going to lose me ever again because this is a flamethrower station. We're going to bury the competition on those other little stations. Jim, stay in the line. You get a free copy of Band in San Francisco. 1-800. I have not yet been banned from San Francisco by the mayor. Can they do that? Can they ban me from the city because I'm not a liberal? Is that possible? Can they say you're not allowed to come over the bridge anymore? here I am in the studio looking out on the bay. It's another gray, foggy day. The sun came out for about 2 hours yesterday. That was about it. We've been having this yuck weather. It's, you know, when the weather goes, there's very little here, I'll be honest with you. There's nothing left. Brad, San Diego, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes. Hi, Dr. Savage. Pleasure to talk
Hello.
To you. Yes, I wanted to, Pelosi, I think we can get her out of that district by protesting in her district.
Well, I want to know why someone doesn't run against her on her arrogance and her abuse of power. I'd like to know that. And I'd also like to know who leaked this story. Why do you think we are reading today about Pelosi's abuses of a military aircraft when most of these abuses occurred in 07 and 08 when it was reported? But it seems to have come up again today. I'm curious if someone leaked this, one of her enemies within her own camp. Thank you for the call. Brad, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's your opinion? Who do you think leaked this story about Pelosi's abuse of Air Force jets?
Hello?
Yeah, Mike. Are you there? No, Mike is gone. Okay.
Yeah, I think, Mike, in
Pittsburgh. Mike, go ahead, please.
I think Rahm Emanuel had something to do with this because, you know, it was just a few days ago where he was in the news and the progressives were talking about, firing Rahm. And I think this is
He was in the news because he lost in Massachusetts. He was in the news because the Democrat Party is fractured. He was in the news because the entire Obama health care juggernaut has come to naught. And so, therefore, he has the strategist or the man behind it all, the architect of it all on day-to-day planning. It's him and Axelrod. Yes, they were saying he's going to be thrown overboard. He's going to be fired. So you think this is coming from him in order to undermine her?
Well, I think it's just like a shot across her bow to say, hey, you better, you know, get in line with us because we're running the show here. I don't think they're, you know.
Yeah, but she's the one who's pushing health care, even though most Americans do not want insurance devastation of this kind. Remember how it went from health care reform to insurance reform? What this really is a hostile takeover of the health insurance industry by Nancy Pelosi and company. That's what it comes down to Mike. That's what everyone who analyzed this has come to the conclusion. This is not about health care reform. This is about stealing the health care insurance industry.
Yes, this is about their power. But what I'm saying is that Rahm, I think he thinks that Pelosi went a little too far and is ruining it for Obama.
Oh, you mean by pushing so hard with her arrogance and her out-of-touch statements?
Exactly. I think they
all right, stay in line. I'm sending you a free copy of Banned in San Francisco from Michael Savage. Let's go to Florida, my favorite adopted state. Charles, welcome to the Savage Nation. I hope you're listening on WFTL out of Fort Lauderdale. What's on your mind, Charles?
Great show tonight, Mike. What's on my mind is my fiance and I went to San Francisco about a year ago. And real first trip for both of us, and we were really, shocked by all the homeless people that were wandering around.
Yeah, the bums are out of control. And by the way, it's an endemic problem like a virus. If I were the mayor, I could cure the bum problem in 90 days. There are laws on the books, or could be put on the books, to end loitering. You remember when you were young, there were laws called loitering. You can't loiter, right? How did those laws get thrown out? Who threw them out? What, because a few freaks in the ACLU said that they're unconstitutional? Let me ask you, what's more unconstitutional, to take away all civility in a city, to have people puking in the gutter, to have bums harassing young women in the streets? That's in the Constitution? Show me where in the Constitution it says that a bum is allowed to pee on your shoes and insult your wife while you go to a restaurant in San Francisco.
And it's their arrogance as well. I mean, if you flip one $20 or $10, there's not even a thank you. You know,
$10? I wouldn't give them 10 cents. Do you know how much this city spends on so-called homeless bums? The last I checked, and it was 4 years ago, they were spending $280 million a year in direct services to these drug addicts and alcoholics. $280 million in direct services. And what happened? What happened was, is the sugar brought more ants to town.
Yeah.
We had a great time. That's the problem today, is liberalism is a mental disorder. It's also bad for children and other living things. Thanks for the call. 1-800-449-8255 from anywhere in the United States of America, including San Francisco. Chris and San from Mike in San Francisco, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, welcome to 860. You are loud and clear, sir.
Oh, that's what I love to hear. You know, my listeners are happy to hear me on such a powerful station, aren't they?
You're blowing out the doors here. It's absolutely fantastic.
are you allowed to listen to me in San Francisco, or has it been banned by the mayor?
Well, I don't go to San Francisco. I'm actually several miles in the South Bay. We don't travel up there too often.
It's a beautiful look, Mike. I've got good friends in the restaurant business. I got to tell you that. And you know what? When I see 4% added to every restaurant bill for health care, and I didn't even know that the mayor did that, I understand why the convention business is down. I understand why the hotel business is down. I understand why the restaurant business is down. The left wing has basically destroyed business in this city.
Well, they're absolutely destroying business. I had a story about my dad. He's first generation Italian here in America. He started selling newspapers at 10 years old, graduated high school, and started a painting business with no government help, nor did he want it. And he retired a multimillionaire when he was 55. No help.
Well, he must have been a fascist capitalist, eh, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely. Capitalism.
Sure.
You know,
right. Anyone who makes a living is a fascist to the scum on the left. I understand that. Well, that's the American way. I understand that hard work usually pays off in this country. Now, there are people who have accidents. There are people who are unlucky. There are people who try and try and don't succeed. You can't condemn them either. But on the other hand, you can't suddenly make it so easy for a person that they don't have to try, they don't have to work, they don't have to feed themselves. What's going to happen is you debilitate the entire society. You know that, and I know that.
Yep, I agree. My dad started with nothing and made it with nobody's help but his own.
Are you still in the painting business?
Yes, sir.
Good for you. I happen to need a couple of banisters painted on my dock. Mike, Stand in line. I'm sending you a free copy of Abandoned Britain. I'm going to get 1,000 guys who want to paint my doc. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to New York City in a moment. When I come back, Florida, Chicago, New Hampshire. You name it. We got it. It's the Savage Nation, coast to coast, right here on your local station.
Savage.
The train. All aboard the Savage Express. I linked a story from the New York Post on MichaelSavage.com. Savage beagles terrorized East End. I didn't do it because of the name Savage. It was about dogs. Now, you look at a beagle, you figure a dog is a friendly dog, a beagle, right? It says, Charlie Brown, watch your back. A plague of vicious wild beagles has struck Long Island. And there's a picture of what looks like an ordinary house pet, a beagle. But these are different beagles. These floppy-eared terrors are no lovable Snoopies. They are abandoned hunting dogs that live in packs and have gone from humble pets to hounds from hell. Matic resident Dot Whatever came face to face with the canine menace 2 weeks ago when she was set upon by a group of crazed, hungry beagles as she walked her pet dogs near her parents' Orient Point home. She said it was like a scene from a werewolf movie. They were barking so ferociously that I thought they were going to attack my dogs. Her dogs, who were much bigger than the beagles, were too scared to even bark back. Liberal dogs. She said, I grabbed my two dogs and ran inside. I just closed the door when they jumped at the door and they broke that aluminum portion underneath. The attack happened in a flash. It was only when the 61-year-old dog lover was safely inside that she made the shocking realization that her howling attackers weren't coyotes or Rottweilers, but were three frothing, short-legged, brown and white beagles. Well, the answer is, the angry beagles that attacked her are part of a huge community of feral beagles that roams the woods and fields of eastern Long Island after having been abandoned by hunters who use them to track down rabbits. According to local activists, some hunters act like small-time Donald Trumps, firing the dogs that don't do well during the November to February hunting season. One told a shelter worker, if you don't take the dog, I'll shoot it in the head. If the dogs don't perform, they don't have a use for them, said Pam Greener, runs Kent Animal Shelter in Calverton. Despite the beagle's small size and normally playful dispositions, they normally group up in vicious packs to hunt for food once they're on their own. Well, anyway, you get the picture. So you can read the whole story there. I got distracted because I was reading the story from the Post just now, and I linked over to Murdoch's trick, which is cheesecake photos. Every article, your eye gets pulled over to some half-naked girl. What are you going to do? It's the way it's worked forever. Most are not spayed or neutered. Most are not spayed or neutered. And there's a picture of Brad Pitt. Most are not spayed or neutered. It's a picture of Paris Hilton. She should be neutered. Most are not spayed or neutered because hunters believe fixed dogs lose their hunger for prey. I have not fixed Teddy. People always say to me, Is he fixed? What do you mean fixed? What do you want him to make into a normal San Francisco dog? I was also reading an article about the dog clothing the other day. You know how people dress their dogs up now in clothes? I got to admit it. It's a substitute for a child or a grandchild. And because white girls don't have children anymore in America, they all walk around with a dog and a coat. It's sad. It's pathetic. You see 35-year-old white girls, good-looking, but they're over the hill already because there are always 16-year-olds around the corner. And already they have a dog in their hand with a sweater. It's sad. Instead of raising a child, they're raising a dog. It's unbelievable. So what do? They overdress them. They buy them clothing. You should see the burials for dogs today. But the clothing, it actually is bad for the dog to put clothing on them. Some animals are so well adapted to nature that their fur rises and goes down according to heat and cold. And you're actually diminishing their capacity to regulate their own body temperature by overdressing them. So they're not children. You don't have to put dogs in clothing unless they're in Alaska, you know, in like subarctic temperatures here. But you look around any city, it's not just San Francisco. It's sad to see dogs in clothing. I guess I'll have to burn Teddy's clothes in order to not be a hypocrite. But I have to admit there's a soft spot in me when I see him in his sort of Scottish kilt. He looks really great. He's devastating. He's the hottest dog on the planet. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Savage. Visit TRNCentral.com, your one stop for news and all things talk radio. That's TRNCentral.com.
Now, I'm going to read you a story that I would suggest that, okay, liberalism is a mental disorder. I wrote that book in 07. It was banned in Europe, by the way, by the socialists who were so offended by the truth that that book was banned before I was banned in Britain, incidentally. Now, why do I say liberalism is a mental disorder? I'm going to read you a story that just came up in the news here in San Francisco. Now, listen to the headline. Teen girl tries to move on as trial begins. What does that mean? Nothing. But here's the real story. Man faces attempted murder charges in random 2007 stabbing. Here's a college girl who was 14 at the time in San Francisco. Now, this could happen anywhere, but it happened in San Francisco. All right? The woman is in a bakery, inside a bakery in Twin Peaks, San Francisco. A man comes in named Thomas. He stabs this 14-year-old girl repeatedly. He stabbed the girl in the head, wrist, leg, back, and jugular vein. Now, most of the facts are not in dispute, but one thing is, Deputy Public Defender Stephen Rosen, who, as far as I'm concerned, should rot in hell, said that the stabber, Thomas, was not guilty. Not guilty, even though he stabbed the girl, because he suffers from severe mental problems, meaning he has bipolar disorder. Now, you know, and I know that bipolar disorder is a subject. Explain it to me. What, you're happy and you're sad? Now, what you don't know about this is that the man who did it, this guy Thomas, had just been released from San Quentin State Prison one day before the attack, and he was a high-control parolee. So the girl's family sues the State Department of Corrections for releasing this bum, but the case was thrown out in February of last year by a liberal judge, Peter Bush, who said that the prison was not responsible for Thomas's actions after being released. The poor girl is appealing her case, but there's more to the story. You know why this girl was not killed? In steps the hero. Kermit Kubitz, a lawyer and Vietnam War veteran, jumped in and stopped Thomas before he could have killed the girl, Lauren Shaler. Kermit was stabbed multiple times and was recently honored by the Carnegie Hero Fund. The girl, Lauren Shaler's right arm, once lifeless, has been recovering in the years since the attack with the help of a renowned St. Louis reconstruction surgeon named Susan McKinnon. As the physical wounds heal, so too do the mental ones. Now, what does this story tell you? It tells you many things. One, liberalism is responsible for having released this psychotic from San Quentin. Liberalism is what gives birth to men like the public defender, Stephen Rosen, who would have the audacity to defend a piece of garbage like this, and to defend this piece of garbage saying that he suffers from mental problems and therefore he's not guilty for stabbing the girl and almost killing her. Remember, he stabbed the girl for no reason in a bakery. He stabbed her repeatedly. He stabbed her all over her body. He stabbed her in the head, wrist, leg, back, and jugular vein. And was it not for a Vietnam War veteran, Kermit Kubitz, who jumped in and stopped this bastard before he killed the girl, who was also stabbed multiple times, this girl would be dead. That's why I say, folks, liberalism is a mental disorder. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Every day I hope to enlighten you as to the realities of why America, this once great nation, has fallen into the garbage can. And the only hope for revival is through conservatism of the real kind and from adherence to my principles of borders, language, and culture. Now I'll take your calls. Gail in Florida, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Oh, I just wanted to tell you that I really enjoy your webpage, and that's where I got the Mr. Young Pelosi information that you were reading earlier today. And
you mean about the use of military jets for her and her family for no business but other than to have a good time on the taxpayer's dime? How is there no investigation of this?
I don't know. It's the same kind of thing where recently, you know, we got the president came over here to give us money for a train that all the people voted not to have. We're actually calling it the homeless train.
Do you know that Pelosi got something like I think $24 million to augment the wine train in Napa County, and you know that it created how many jobs for that $24 million? 12 jobs.
Well, I can't say.
Look, this is called patronage. This is called pork barrel spending. This is called boondoggles. This is what almost destroyed America in the past. It has to stop. It's never been this bad. Yes, the Republicans were greedy pigs. We know that. We know that Bush ran up the government, ran up the government expenses like nobody before, like three administrations before him. We know all of this. But what Bush did, Obama has now taken to the third tier of insanity. There's no question about it. Chicago, John, you're on the Savage Nation.
Good day, sir. Don't understand the hope and change when all you're doing is bringing the Chicago machine to Washington. I mean, we got the most arrogant politicians in the world here. We have Demolition Dick and his disciples.
You mean Dick Durbin? We call him, I named him Turbin Durbin, the man who had terrible things to say about the U.S. Marines. He called them Nazis and fascists and supported the fellows in the turbans over in Iraq.
No, talking about Demolition Dick Daley here in his...
I thought you meant Dick Durbin, the wonderful senator from your area.
No, we got, he's got his, if you look at it, he's got his aldermen here, which are all his yes men, and, you got Congress and the Senate there, the Nancy Botox Pelosi and all of them, they're all yes men to what we got there. All he did was import the Chicago machine, brought his people with him,
Well, they're making one mistake after another, John, because when America looks at what's going on under Obama, you take the two strikes in terms of the two failed terrorist attacks that Obama failed to protect us on, whether it was the underwear bomber or the Fort Hood attack, it's only a matter of one more attack until three strikes and they're out. Now he wants to give a trial in New York City, and even the liberal mayor of New York says no. Even the liberal Senator Schumer says no. I mean, one mistake after another from this machine, John. They're not that in charge of things.
Well, you got Ernie Duncan he brought there after he ran Chicago Public Schools bankrupt and into the ground. And then he brings them, puts them in charge of education for the whole nation.
Well, there you go. That's the Peter for the call. That's not bad. San Francisco, 860 on the dial. All sports, 860. I'm excited. I got to tell you, you hear the excitement in me because it's a new beginning in San Francisco. They try to destroy me. They try to kill me. They try to do this to me politically, and guess what? I am thankful that I'm back, and you hear it in my voice. And you know what? I'll tell you something about talk radio that you probably know by now. Talk radio is not so much about the topics. It's about the person behind the microphone. There's an old rule I learned in the first day of talk radio 15 years ago on a local station. If you are excited about a topic, that excitement will be felt by the listener. If you're not excited about it, they're going to tune out and find something else. So that's the story of talk radio. So if I tell you that I had a good meal and I'm excited about it, you might listen. Or I tell you whatever it might be, a dog story or this or that. And politically, if I think it's an important story or something I really want to talk about, like that poor girl being stabbed by a man being released from San Quentin, and then there's Vermin, public defender, having a nerve to say, he's not responsible. He has bipolar disorder. I only wish to God, Mr. Public Defender, I wish one thing, that what happened to this girl does not happen to you or a member of your family. I only hope that although God sees the truth but waits, he gives you a pass, Mr. Public Defender. I really pray for your sake that God is nice to you and your family for what you just did. I hope that you sleep at night for what you just did to this girl. That man's not responsible for stabbing her. Who is then? You? You are the system, Mr. Public Defender, Mr. Rosen. That's my opinion. 1-800-449-8255. What's your opinion? San Francisco, Chris, you're up on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike, first-time caller. Welcome back to have you here in the Bay Area. Love it, love it, love it.
You like the sound?
I like the sound. It's, I haven't had a chance to check it out on my little handheld, but getting it on the car radio, driving all the way from Fremont to back to San Fran today, you came in loud and clear all across the Bay.
Oh, we're going to bury the other talk stations. We can't wait to crush the guy who sounds like Groucho Marx with a hysterectomy and the others. It's going to be fun.
Hey, I've always defined liberalism as wanting to legislate what you're unwilling to do yourself, and I think Pelosi and her family have just exemplified this. I've gotten searched when going through airplanes before, and that's really no big deal. It's part of the environment, something we got to do. And her whole family taking military planes that my tax dollars pay for, hey, I'm not too happy about. and B,
$5,000 an hour for a Gulfstream 5 and $20,000 an hour for a Boeing 767 for her and her family to fly back and forth across the country, according to blueblogspot.com. And I linked it up on michaelsavage.com because I asked myself one question. This information is not invented, or the guy who put it up there would have been sued. So therefore, why is there no investigation of this clear abuse of taxpayer funds? And this abuse of power, this arrogance is beyond comprehension. I have never seen anything like this. I've never seen an abuse of power like this, but I understand it, and I'll tell you why. Lord Acton said this in the 1940s. He was a British parliamentarian, and he said, power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. If that does not typify this machine, the Pelosi, Reid, Obama machine, I'd like to know who the hell Lord Acton was referring to when he said absolute power corrupts absolutely. I'd like to know some other government, or let's say some other administration that you can think of, that abused power more than this administration has. I really would. That's all. Let's go to the callers. Let's go to Colorado. Peter, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Mike, I would like to tell you why I think that you're going to do very well on this sports station.
Why? Well, now, wait a minute. You're calling from Colorado and you think it's going to work in San Francisco.
Oh, I've listened to you for a long time. Well, think about this. Most sports stations cover sports like football, basketball, hockey,
yes,
baseball. Those are right. Very physical contact sports. And
right.
So that gives you the idea of the kind of audience, admittedly most of them male.
Yes, that's
now,
right. That's my demographic. You know that I have 13 women listeners across America? Of the 8 or 10 million listeners I have, I understand there are 13 women.
I believe you. Now, your style, I think, will resonate very well with that kind of audience because you are very gutsy. You don't take cheap shots. You don't dance around issues. So that's what I think.
Now, I want to ask you, Peter, I want to ask you something. It's funny. Are you from Russia originally?
Close. Central Europe.
All right. Okay. The reason I ask is that you speak in a certain manner that men from that part of the world speak that way. Never mind the accent. I'm not talking about that. When I was interviewed over the weekend by this magazine, when it comes out in May, people will know how big this is. He asked me point blank. He said to me Friday night, he said, are you a happy person? And you know what my answer was? I said, I am morose. And he was shocked by the statement. I said, what do you want me to do? Tell you I'm not morose? I said, I'm morose. I don't think the word morose has been used for a long time. So he was shocked by it. He said, well, basically, why? What do you mean morose? I said, think Lord of the Flies. I said, to me, the world is Lord of the Flies, that if you don't defend yourself, they'll strip you bare, tie you to a tree, and set you on fire. I said, that's how most men on the earth look at the world. Never mind the smiling American male face, which is an anomaly on the earth. The world is filled with people who are evil. They will eat you alive if you don't defend yourself. Don't you really look at the world that way?
Life, for the most part, life is depressing.
Well, I hope you have a nice day. I didn't say life is depressing. I don't find life depressing. I find it exciting. But, you know, I used to argue with my dad, an immigrant, when I was an idealistic young college student. I'd come home with all of these liberal ideas, and I'd say, people are good. Blah, blah, blah. And he said, no, people aren't good. People are very mean, and people will take advantage of you if you're weak. And we'd have a lot of arguments. He was very into, no, don't be weak, people will take advantage of you. Think of how they train Spartacus, and you'll get a taste of how some people are raised in America and still are raised by immigrant fathers. And you'll understand what they understand the world to be because they've come here. Let's say someone came here from Guatemala. Do you know what an average Guatemalan has to do? Let's put aside the illegal part of it. Do you know what they have to do to get through Mexico? I have some people I know who are Guatemalan who told me that when they get to Mexico, the Mexican police will shoot them if they don't bribe them. Now, think about this. They're shot for no reason coming through Mexico. Now, when they get to America, most of them work very hard. Don't get me wrong, and don't misinterpret what I'm saying. 30% of the illegal aliens in this 30% of the prison population in this country consists of illegal aliens. They're very tough people. Don't underestimate them. But why are they tough? Because they come from such destitution. But many of them will take advantage of the weakness of America. And that is what I'm saying to you. We have become a patsy for the world. Now let's talk about Obama. He is a guy who comes to power, and the first thing he does is apologize. He goes on an apology tour. I don't want to relive it all. It was horrible to watch this man and the number of trips he took overseas to apologize and genuflect and bow, and to the king of Saudi Arabia, to the premier of China. There was no end to this man's bowing and putting down America. So he thought that by bowing down to Muslims and going barefoot in the park in a mosque in Istanbul, that they would suddenly stop blowing things up. What he found out was, no, we have a weak man for president. He's like, Chamberlain in England was in 39 with Hitler. We're going to take advantage of him. We're not going to stop blowing things up in America. We're actually going to just start doing it. Because the old sheriff, George Bush, who was beaten to death by the liberal media, is no longer in charge. We have a college boy in the United States of America now who thinks that we're actually nice. Let's take advantage of him. So when I say to you, Lord of the Flies, that's what I'm talking about. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. Visit me online at michaelsavage.com. I want to go to New York City right now, where WOR awaits me. Jerry, what's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Mike, how you doing, boss? I almost fell off my chair when you told me that, when you were telling that story about the Beagle. 10 years ago, my friend Tony, who now lives in Yonkers, told me this guy Ernesto used to take out his Beagles. He used to keep them in cages all the time. These dogs are locked up all the time. He made a funny story about it. He goes, one day Ernesto went out east hunting with his dogs, and the dogs just kept running, and they were gone. So the dogs
Just
wanted out of there.
They go wild. They go atavistic, and they breed, you know, mate with each other, and then they become packs. They hunt in packs and attack other dogs.
You know something? That just tied the end to a story that I heard 10 years ago about these beagles that ran. These beagles are in cages all the time. I don't blame them. It was just a funny story at the time. I almost fell off.
Oh, in other words, they keep them pent up, so when they release them, they really run.
This guy was like, you know, old school.
That's like the average male student in a classroom today.
This is the kind of guy that cuts his trees halfway, so when the storm comes, the trees fall, and then the town has to clean them up.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Jerry, you're the best. Thanks for calling on WOR. I really appreciate it. Now, there's a big story that we can't leave this hour without talking about. Iran says they're going to attack us on February 11th, the celebration of their so-called Islamic Revolution. What do you think they're going to do to us? And why can't the military stop them before they do it? Benjamin in New Hampshire, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Go ahead.
I've got an hour drive home. You make it certainly worthwhile for me.
Thank you. So what's your opinion of Ahmadinejad, the Hitler of our time, threatening the West for February 11th, some big attack on us?
The heck out of me. I'll tell you this. I think they're going to use their surrogates in Hezbollah to detonate something, whether it's nuclear or non-nuclear, inside of Israel.
Well, they've been probing us with, the underwear bomber. They've been probing us with various and sundry other sleeper cells here in the U.S., and they want to see what the reaction has been, and I'm afraid to tell you that the reaction has been quite meager. You've got the defense secretary saying it has nothing to do with terrorism. They catch a guy with night goggles, bulletproof vest, flamethrowers, outside a military base with plans, and they say it's not terrorist-related. What would you do if you were him? He'd laugh at you. He'd laugh at the U.S.
I know. It's,
what kind of limp-wristed leadership do we have in this country that a terrorist kills people at Fort Hood, screams Allah Akbar, wearing a white robe, and they say it's not terrorist-related? How can you win a war when you won't even define the enemy?
Yeah.
Thank you. I rest my case, ladies and gentlemen. Just remember this. Liberalism is a mental disorder. It's bad for children and other living things. This is the Savage Nation, another big hour coming up right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Visit TRNCentral.com, your one-stop for news and all things talk radio. That's TRNCentral.com.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here are some major league headlines from MichaelSavage.com. To me, the biggest story, truthfully, is not that Iran is threatening to strike us on February whatever. You know, his big threat that on February 11th, Iran is going to deliver a telling blow to global powers. Well, who knows, with the people running the military worried about not offending Muslims in the military and elsewhere. It's possible. Anything's possible, you know. And then we have a U.S. missile test that is supposed to mimic an Iran strike, then missiles failed. I wonder if it had been outsourced to China. Or perhaps there was another Major Hassan in the missile testing division of the U.S. military. Never can tell. Well, tied into this is Nancy Pelosi's monumental use and abuse of military aircraft. Did you know that Nancy Pelosi is using military jets to facilitate the personal travel not only of herself, but her children and her grandchildren? That's right. And I ask, whose military is it, Madam Speaker? Instead of mobilizing the military to take out the Hitler of Iran, it looks as though Pelosi has been mobilizing the military to move her family around. Military jets have been used to transport her children and grandchildren? My friends, this is something that went on in the ex-Soviet Union, where the members of the Politburo abuse the government and the people were nothing but peons. Now, you think I'm making it up, right? Military flights cost between $5,000 and $20,000 an hour. $5,000 to $20,000 an hour to operate. Nancy Pelosi and her family routinely reimbursed the Air Force $120 to $400 for each flight. You hear this? Since Pelosi seized power as Speaker in 06, she's rung up millions in military travel expenses to commute between San Francisco and Washington. Wait, it gets worse. She also appears to have requisitioned entire flights of military jets for the personal use of her children and grandchildren. That is, unaccompanied by any member of Congress, her kids, in-laws, and grandchildren are utilizing entire military passenger jets for their routine travel. This came up on blueblue.blogspot.com. And using documents attained by Judicial Watch's Freedom of Information Act, they discovered the following manifests and travel requests on the part of Nancy Pelosi's family. Are you ready? Write it down, all you good liberals. February 22nd, 07, a military jet is used for the travel needs of the Speaker's son, Paul Jr. April 13th, 07, a military jet is requisitioned and used for the travel of the Speaker's daughter, son-in-law, and grandson. June 15th, 2007. A military jet is used for the travel needs of the Speaker's son, Paul Jr. July 9th, 07. A military jet is used for the travel needs of the Speaker's son, Paul Jr. January 13, 2008. A military jet is used for the travel needs of Paul Pelosi, Jr., son of the Speaker. September 29, 2008. A military jet is used for the travel needs of Paul Pelosi, Jr., son of the Speaker. October 30, 2008. A military jet is used for the Speaker's daughter and a son-in-law, Peter Kaufman. By the way, Peter Kaufman is the son of a filmmaker by the name of Mr. Kaufman. It's interesting to me how all these libs who hate the military, hate the establishment, know sure how to abuse both when they grab power, huh? November 25th, 2008. A military jet is used for the Speaker's daughter, her son-in-law, and two grandchildren. How do you feel about this? How do you feel about Pelosi's monumental abuse of military aircraft for her children and grandchildren? You feel this is appropriate? This is while the Hitler of Iran threatens the United States of America? There are a few other stories that I have to skate over. You can get them all on michaelsavage.com. Haitians want the United States to take over. Obama refuses to connect the dots. It's terrorism, Mr. President, they say. That's from the Wash Times. When a man is apprehended with a weapon and weapons, a map of a military installation, and jihadist effects, the natural response is to assume the situation is terrorist-related. Obama sees everything upside down, as do his minions, and they say it's not. Is this political cowardice or is it insanity? Well, it's why the crotch bomber got as far as he did. and it's why Iran has taken the world to the brink of nuclear war. Obama offers $200 million to any city willing to host a terror trial. Anyone? 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 No one yet. Iran is to celebrate pulling a nuclear fast one on the West. Again, Mr. Brown of Massachusetts, the conservative messiah who I warned you not so quickly, has come out and said he supports abortion. Are you shocked? I'm not. Climate change boss uses a car and driver to go 1 mile to office. He's the Nobel Prize winner whose research warned glaciers in the Himalayas might melt by 035. So you might expect him to reduce his own carbon footprint. Well, you know, with libs, it's do as I say, not as I do. From Fox News, Pakistani Taliban chief claimed to be killed by drones. And finally today on MichaelSavage.com, man sentenced to 8 years for beating a rabbi with a bat. A man who savagely beat a New Jersey rabbi with a baseball bat during an unprovoked attack has been sentenced to 8 years in state prison. You know, there was a time in the history of a once great nation where rabbis were beaten up in the street just for being Jewish. But it wasn't in the United States. Some of you may vaguely remember a historical event of the far distant past called Kristallnacht, where Jews were beaten up and Jewish storefront windows were broken in a spontaneous demonstration of national pride. The left is constantly blathering about hateful right-wingers. Why not do something about the real hatred out there? Why not name the real haters before we end up with another human catastrophe? Could it be that the man who beat the rabbi with a baseball bat was just responding to MoveOn.org and organizations like that that are constantly calling Israel a terrorist nation? You think about it, you libs, and get back to me. I'm Michael Savage. Be here.
Savage.
With all the talk coming out of the Obama administration and their attempts to make our medical system rather socialist, there's been no discussion about how this is going to affect young adults in America. Joining us now from the Heritage Foundation is Ray Hederman on this.
Thanks, Michael, for having me. What we're looking at right now is a paper that talks about how young people are going to be disproportionately affected by the health insurance programs that are still winding their way through Congress. What our study has found with the Congressional Budget Office, the Lewin Group, all these people looked at healthcare, all come to the same conclusion that younger people, people under 35, people under 30, are going to pay disproportionately amount for health insurance. And the reason is that government has come in and they're establishing these regulations, age rating bands, where you can only charge older people 2-3 to 1 of what you charge younger people. What this means that premiums are going up for everybody to be able to support these new government-mandated benefits, these new government-mandate programs. And right now, you know, we hear a lot about how many people are uninsured. Well, it's important to realize that over one-third of workers 18 to 25 are offered insurance by their employer that don't take it. These are young men and women who sit there and say, you know what, I am in good health, I work out, I'm not going to pay extra money to go to the doctor. And so what the government is saying is, if you choose not to carry insurance now, you're going to be penalized. You're going to have to pay a mandate of $750, 2% of your total income. You're going to have to pay a penalty if you choose not to buy insurance. But the problem with that is that a lot of these people are going to sit there and say, you know what, it's still worth, say, only $750 to not buy insurance and pay the penalty, as compared to having to pay thousands of dollars for these higher premiums for health care, which isn't as important to me personally. And this means that because premiums are going up in the government plan across the board, as the government mandates more benefits, you could see even more young people dropping out of the insurance market. And this is what we call the death spiral, because younger people are going to sit there and say, you know, I don't like health insurance right now, and I'm sure not going to like it because it's going to get more expensive. So as these younger, healthier workers drop out, that means the government's going to have to raise premiums than everybody else, and higher premiums lead more and more healthy people to drop out as the premiums continue to climb. And so I think that's a big problem that we'll see over the next couple of years of what's going to happen with these premium increases, and then what's this going to do to younger workers? Are they going to leave the health insurance market in greater numbers than we have now? Ironically, this could lead to a higher rate of uninsured younger workers than we currently see in today's market.
Well, how much of this has been thought out by the Obama administration?
Well, a little bit. That's why you try to have some of these mandates. The mandates originally were about $750, and they've tried to increase that to 2% of AGI to try to up the penalty for younger workers. Some of the insurance companies have been looking at this issue, and they're concerned the mandate isn't set high enough. And so young people simply are going to say, hey, I'll take the penalty. I don't want to get involved. I don't want to buy into your bad plan. And so insurance companies, I think, would like to see a higher mandate penalty to basically force younger workers to come in. You know, we found out that insurance does drop a little bit in part because of the subsidies for young people. But overall, about, 93% of the people under 25 who would face the mandate penalty would rather pay that $750 than have to buy a health insurance because, again, government premiums are going to go up in the nine-group market because the government's setting much, much higher benefit packages than a lot of Americans want. And I think it's important to realize that it's not just, the Heritage Foundation, Congressional Budget Office, the Lewin Group all found that younger families, younger workers, those headed by people less than 35, those headed by less than 40, will be paying more money for health care under these new kind of reform plans than they would be otherwise. This is because government is mandating additional benefits, where it's going to change the risk pool, and it's going to pass a lot more penalties on the younger, healthier workers to try to pay for these so-called reforms. And, of course, you got to look at the fact that government is directly going to be taxing health insurance companies, drug companies, makers of medical supplies, and these costs are unfortunately going to be passed on to the consumers. And this is another reason that premiums go up. And every time premiums go up, there's going to be other people who sit there and say, I'm going to go pay for my doctor out of pocket. I'm going to sit there and say, it's not worth for me anymore to buy this health insurance because I'm healthy, I'm young. And when these people drop out of the market, that means premium costs are going to go up for everybody.
Well, many feel this is going to be pushed through regardless of what the people want.
I hope not. I think, a lot of people in Congress are taking a look right now and saying, man, this is extremely unpopular. The more the American people find out about the provisions that are in here with the government mandating benefits, mandating costs, mandating just that you have to pay a certain amount of money and a penalty if you don't buy health insurance, when you hear deals like the Medicaid deal in Nebraska, those are the things that really turn the American people against these type of big government initiatives. And I really think that's kind of put some of the brakes on the legislation we're moving through. We know that the majority party is trying to figure out a way to be able to cobble together certain elements of the bill to be able to try to push it through, finding out how they can be acceptable. But I think it's very hard to ram through a legislation that fundamentally reshapes one-sixth of the American economy when over half of the American people don't like the legislation. So I think, a party pushes this legislation at a great potential cost to itself because, again, the more the American people find out about this, the lower the approval ratings of this plan is.
Well, what's the best way for people to speak out and stop this?
Well, I think the first thing is that people should be able to read about and understand these proposals for ourselves. If you come to our website at heritage.org, you'll find our paper on how healthcare affects young people. You'll find a whole bunch of other legislation analysis by the Heritage Foundation that takes a look at it from a free market perspective and prosperity. How can we have real reform? And then I'd encourage people interested, they can always talk to the legislature. They can always join the Heritage Foundation and help support us in our work, or they can join other interested groups. This is a great democracy, so a whole bunch of different options to sit there and say, how can we make sure that the healthcare reform that comes through opens up markets for more competition, gives us more choice instead of government mandates from Washington?
Ray Hederman, thanks for the report.
Thank you, Michael. Always a pleasure.
We don't have tough men running America. We have calculating men. We have devious men. We have shrewd men. But none of them are tough enough for the times we are living in. None of them are tough enough to face the animals that would cut your throat, that would slash your daughter's throat in front of your eyes and throw it down a well. None of these men are tough enough for the job. Do you understand what I said to you? Now I'll go a step further. And this is going to be tough for many of you to take. If you were to turn the clock back to the FBI of the 1960s, the late 60s, during the J. Edgar Hoover period, when there was an attempt to overthrow the American government by the American left. And if you were to look at the dossiers that the FBI was compiling on the Weather Underground and on radical fellow travelers, you would recognize that they have taken over America. I don't know how to put it to you, but this country has been taken over by radical college communists Make no mistake about it. They're vicious and they're shrewd, but they're not tough enough to face off against the enemies that would cut your throat and throw you down a well. That's my opinion. There's only one thing that could save us, and that's profiling, profiling, and more profiling. The whole concept of profiling is a construct of the enemy himself. The whole idea that we're even talking about it shows that they've already beaten us. They've already beaten us halfway to the goal posts. I've seen him frisk diapers of two-year-old babies. But when you see an African Muslim come aboard an airplane, they practically get on a prayer rug and beg them for forgiveness. And so, as I say, the enemy has 50% down the goal already. 50% to the goal already. They've got you beaten because you won't even look them in the eye and say, I don't trust you. I don't like the way you look. I don't like your eyes. I don't like what you look like. I think you're going to blow this plane up. Go over there. We're going to strip you. That's what has to happen in order for us to survive. And if you think that I'm wrong, it shows you how brainwashed you are. I'll tell you right now that unless we get men capable of killing the killers, we're dead. Play some music for a minute. It's Blue Monday on the Savage Nation.
I found my thrill on Blueberry Hill. On Blueberry Hill. When I found you, the moon stood still.
Everything's good. We live in a paradise. I mean, the truth is, America is a paradise. It's the greatest country on earth. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage. Visit TRNCentral.com, your one stop for news and all things talk radio. That's TRNCentral.com.
You know, Obama has said how creating and saving jobs is going to be his priority. But, you know, so far nothing seems to be working for poor Obama. Joining us now is James Shirk with an easy way to create thousands of new construction jobs without increasing the federal deficit. James Shirk, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Thanks, Michael, for having me on again. Democrats in the Senate are talking a lot about ways they want to create jobs, and we haven't seen a bill yet. But it sounds like the centerpiece of any of their new job creation proposals is going to be more public work spending and more spending on transportation projects and on highways and roads and bridges and such. Basically, they want to reduce unemployment by having Americans build a whole lot of bridges around the country. It doesn't do too much for you if you don't work in construction, but we've got a lot of unemployed construction workers right now. And so that's the idea. The problem, though, is that they're only looking at the immediate scene visible effects. They're going to say, all right, what we'll do is we'll spend $20 billion or $40 billion, or we don't know the final figure, but tens of billions of dollars on these construction projects. And you can look, and you can see the workers building the road, building the highway. And yes, it's almost certainly going to employ tens or hundreds of thousands of Americans building on it. Very seen, very visible. What isn't seen is the fact that where are they getting this money from? Well, they're taking it out of the private sector. It's either in the form of borrowing it away, so money that would have been invested in a business somewhere is instead loaned to the government, or through taxes. The money is getting sucked out of the private sector and is going to the government. And so what you don't see are the companies that don't start up because the government took the money that would have been borrowed to fund them. You don't see the companies that aren't started up because the business owner didn't have the money left after paying the taxes. Government spending does not create net jobs. It does create jobs, but it also destroys other jobs. And on balance, you actually lose more jobs than the government spending creates. So what we're going to wind up doing, if the Senate does this, if the Congress does this, is spend tens of billions of dollars across the country and have fewer jobs than we had to begin with. We'll have more government spending, we'll have more debt, we'll have a bigger deficit. At the end of the day, they're not even going to do what they're trying to do. They're not going to reduce unemployment. Government spending does not create jobs. All it can do is move them around the economy.
Well, but Obama said he was serious about job creation.
If they were serious, if this was not about just increasing spending on government, which is they wanted to spend more money on transportation projects for years. It was in the 2000, 2004, 2008 Democratic National Convention platforms.
This has been a longstanding goal of theirs, is spending more money on these transportation projects, and especially on mass transit projects. But if they're serious about what they want to do is create jobs, well, there's a way they can do it, a way that won't increase the deficit at all, a way that won't require spending any more money, and if they want to, will allow them to build more transportation projects while all doing this.
Well, like what?
Well, we have a law in the books called the Davis-Bacon Act. And essentially what the Davis-Bacon Act does is, well, on paper it says you have to pay the workers in federal construction projects the prevailing market wages. The idea is we don't want the government to be a big construction contractor coming in, hiring so many of the workers and saying, all right, you know what, you're going to work for less. You want a job, you have to take a pay cut. Using its power in the market to press down wages. In theory, that's the idea. In practice, what actually happens is that they do a terrible, terrible, terrible job of measuring these Davis-Bacon wages. And so they're nowhere close to market rates. Let me give you a few examples. On Long Island, New York, the market rates for sheet metal workers are about $29 an hour. The market rates for the Davis-Bacon rates that the government says you have to pay if you're on a federal construction project or you have a federal construction contract, $45 an hour, 58% more. Basically, the federal law says you've got to pay the workers on these projects 58% more than the market wages. Or let's take an electrician in Philadelphia. Market wages, $32 an hour. Davis-Bacon rates, $47 an hour, 48% more. In city after city after city, the law requires the government to overpay workers for construction jobs. The workers would be happy to work for market wages. That's what market wages are. But they're especially happy to get an enormous premium and to work for these Davis-Bacon rates. Nationwide, this Davis-Bacon requirement adds 22%. What we are doing is we're paying the wages of 5 workers to 4 workers. By law, we're not getting any more bridges. We're not getting any better work. All we're doing is simply saying, we're going to give you a bonus because you happen to work for the government.
Unbelievable.
Well, in a time when unemployment is so high, does it make any sense to have a law on the books that says we overpay the workers who are lucky enough to have jobs on a federal construction project? Well, millions of other workers are unemployed. Why not pay everyone market rates? If we got rid of the Davis-Bacon Act, or if Obama issued an executive order suspending it, which he can do, the law says in a national emergency the president can suspend the law. If Obama issued that kind of executive order, it would cut the deficit by $11.4 billion in 2010. We wouldn't have to spend a thing more, just a stroke of the pen, and Obama could get $11 billion off the deficit. But if instead of cutting the spending and simply taking a better value for the taxpayer money, he decided to build more bridges, more roads, more projects, more of the things that the Senate Democrats are talking about building in this jobs bill, he would create another 163,000 construction jobs at no cost to the taxpayers, simply by spending the money more wisely and paying workers market rates instead of the inflated Davis-Bacon rates, he would create 160,000 new jobs. Now, you might be asking, this sounds like such an obvious idea. Why would we overpay workers when there's hundreds of thousands of workers without jobs? Why not simply hire more workers for market rates? Well, there's a reason we don't. And not surprisingly, being Washington, it's special interest pressure. The Davis-Bacon Act was passed in the Great Depression. It was actually, at the time, was passed for fairly racist reasons. You had a lot of African-American workers coming out of the South, moving into the North, and the representatives in these districts who had all these white construction workers who were losing their jobs to the African-Americans coming in were rather upset about this. Those were their jobs for their constituents, and they didn't want minorities coming in and taking them. And so what they did is they got the law passed to ensure that the African-Americans and the minorities couldn't charge any less than the white workers. Well, with the climate at the time, once you say that the minorities can't try and undercut the whites, well, simple racism will ensure that the jobs just go to the whites because you have to pay them the same wage. It's unfortunate, it's a legacy of our past, but that was the way the times were back then. Whites would get the jobs as long as there was no competition. And so that's why the law was put on the books. No one defends it for that reason today. No one wants to keep African-Americans off construction projects. That's not the point anymore. The point is that these Davis-Bacon wages tend to be awfully close to union wage scales. The reason they're inflated is because they basically report union rates.
Well, how does that work?
The reason for this is the surveys they do aren't scientific random surveys. You'd think they'd do that. The Bureau of Labor Statistics, most government agencies use scientific random sample survey techniques to report their figures, just as you do, you know, random calling in a telephone poll. Go to a Fox News poll, or a CNN poll or MSNBC poll, it's not scientifically valid. Why? Because the people who watch Fox or watch CNN or watch MSNBC are not a random sample of the population. So it doesn't really tell you too much valid. Well, the problem is the Department of Labor uses that sort of the same self-selected methods when they do their Davis Bacon wage surveys. What happens is the forms go out to everyone, but they're long and complex, and almost everyone throws them in the trash because you don't have to fill them out, and they take a lot of time, and they're asking for information that the contractors don't keep track of. And so almost the only people who respond to these surveys are union contractors who know exactly what they're for and have the incentive and have people on staff who take the time to fill them out. And so they get returned to the government, and instead of a random sample of what wages are like to estimate the market wages, you get a sample of union wage scales. Well, what does it mean if federal law says that you can't pay anyone any less than union wage scales? Well, it means that a non-union contractor can't come in and undercut and underbid the union contractors because they pay market wages instead of union wages. It protects the unions from any competition. They don't have to worry about someone coming in and underbidding them and getting the contract because they've got way inflated high union wages. As long as Davis Bacon's on the book, it means more jobs and more money and more income for union members. Now, it's less money for taxpayers, less jobs overall, and less bridges and roads and infrastructure built to the American people. But for the union members, it means more jobs and more money. And so the unions put a lot of effort into seeing that these Davis-Bacon restrictions are put in place. They do not want to have to compete for market wages. They want their members to be safely protected from competition. In San Diego, they want the union carpenter to be able to get $37 an hour instead of facing competition for the market wages of $23 an hour. They want the union guy to get the 60% premium there in San Diego instead of having to face competition. Well, if you're lucky enough to have one of these jobs that pay way inflated wages, I mean, hey, I wouldn't mind making some of those wages. Who wouldn't mind making that much money? But that's not a good reason to have it on the books, that some workers like getting paid way more than they could elsewhere in the private sector just because the government says so. Public policy should spend taxpayer dollars wisely, and it should not give some workers an unneeded, unnecessary, just a boost in their wages just because they happen to be fortunate enough to work on a federal project, while hundreds of thousands of other workers go unemployed. President Obama, if he's serious about creating jobs, can, without increasing the debt by a penny, without increasing the deficit by a penny, with the stroke of his pen, issue an executive order that creates 163,000 new construction jobs. And on top of that, means more bridges, more roads, more infrastructure for Americans. What it means is means spending the tax dollars wisely.
Do you think he's going to do this?
I would not hold your breath. Unions spent an awful lot on the last election campaign to elect Democrats, and they sort of want some payback. And we saw that in the debate over the Obamacare taxes, where the unions were able to negotiate a special carve-out so that the tax applied to everyone except union members. We've seen this with the union financial disclosure forms, where the Bush administration came in and forced the unions to sort of open up their books, you know, actually obey the law that said they had to be transparent and let their members see how they spent their money. And lo and behold, they were spending it in many cases in questionable ways. And you've had union presidents losing re-election because of challengers who can say, do you know how you spent our money? Our dues money is being spent on these blue-chip phones or Denver Broncos tickets or top-shelf margaritas. That's not how we want it spent. You're not representing us. Well, the union members hate that. The union members love it, but the union leaders hate that. They hate the transparency. So one of the first things Obama has done when he came in as his Labor Department is they've started getting the union financial transparency and disclosure rules. So Obama has shown himself quite willing to talk a lot about how terrible and bad special interests are, but if it's a special interest who's supported his campaign, to be quite willing to give them everything they ask for. So I would not hold your breath on Obama creating 163,000 jobs by standing up to the unions, because it's not what he's been doing so far.
James Shirk, thanks again for being on the Savage Nation.
Thanks for having me on again, Michael.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
Remember the hero of Massachusetts, Scott Brown? Remember how everyone thought he was going to be the new hope for the conservative movement? And remember how I was the only one who told you not to Obamacize Scott Brown? Well, it turns out that old Scott Brown told Barbara Walters, of all people, that he's pro-choice. Listen.
You know, Roe v. Wade is the law of the land, but I think we need to do more to reduce the amount of abortions. And the difference between me and maybe others is that I'm very, I'm against partial birth abortions, I'm against federal funding of abortions, and I believe in a strong parental consent notification law. And we should do more for adoptions.
But you're still pro-choice.
Yes, because I feel this issue is best handled between a woman and her doctor and her family.
And here's a little more from Scott Brown, Messiah, our great savior of cultural values.
The Cosmopolitan magazine. Well, just so happens I have it.
Great, I'm sure you do.
Yeah, and
really?
I just have to find
it. You're kidding,
it.
Right?
Here we go. No, I really do. I have the magazine.
Oh, yeah, the good old days. You want me to sign
and
it?
Here, do I want you? Well, it's a thought. I could then sell it for a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the actual picture.
Yeah.
I
wish I still look like that.
Well, I'm not going to ask you to prove it, but this is pretty... This is pretty raw stuff. Okay.
Wow. She must be salivating over this.
What would you say if one of your daughters came to you and said, Dad, I want to pose nude?
Well, I would leave it up to their discretion. I don't think that's in the cards, though. They're very, very confident, intelligent young women, and they'll probably make different career choices. Do I regret doing that? No. Because if I hadn't done that, I never would have met my wife, never would have had my kids, I never would have been sitting here with you. It's all connected. So is there a double standard? I hope not. If someone's qualified to do the job, they should be able to do it regardless of what they've done in their past.
But on another front, the Republicans seemed to do pretty well. They confronted Obama directly at a GOP retreat. Here's Representative Mike Pence.
Mr. President, a point of clarification. What's in the Better Solutions book are all the legislative proposals
I've actually read your bills throughout
2009.
I understand.
And so rest assured, the summary document you received is backed up by precisely the kind of detailed legislation that Speaker Pelosi and your administration have been busy ignoring for 12 months.
Mike, wait, hold on a second. Hold on a second, guys. You know, Mike, I've read your legislation. I take a look at this stuff, and the good ideas we take.
And here's Representative Jeb Hensarling.
Mr. President, a year ago, I had an opportunity to speak to you about the national debt. And something that you and I have in common is we both have small children.
Absolutely.
And I left that conversation really feeling your sincere commitment to ensuring that our children, our nation's children, do not inherit an unconscionable debt. Mm-hmm. Mr. President, shortly after that conversation a year ago, the Republicans proposed a budget that ensured that government did not grow beyond the historical standard of 20% of GDP. It was a budget that actually froze immediately non-defense discretionary spending. It spent $5 trillion less than ultimately what was enacted into law. And unfortunately, I believe that budget was ignored. Now, very soon, Mr. President, you're due to submit a new budget. And my question,
Jim, I know there's a question in there somewhere, because you're making a whole bunch of assertions, half of which I disagree with, and I'm having to sit here listening to them. At some point, I know you're going to let me answer.
That's the question. You are soon to submit a new budget, Mr. President. Will that new budget, like your old budget, triple the national debt and continue to take us down the path of increasing the cost of government to almost 25% of our economy?
All
that's
right.
The question, Mr. President.
No answer from Mr. President, hmm? Well, maybe you should take some advice from Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, Mr. Obama.
We need to proceed to interrogate them, which you couldn't do, obviously, with a Christmas bomber. I mean, Larry King would have a more thorough interrogation of one of his witnesses than the Christmas bomber had by the Justice Department. This is really dangerous nonsense.
New York, WOR calling. Lisa, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, you are bloody brilliant. You are like totally on top of your game. I have one comment and one question. I just want to.
I like your voice too. Why do I like I'm getting like women with these, like, okay, go on. I'm sorry.
Love you, Michael. First of all, I'm a flight attendant, and I've been working the London route, and I just want to let you know, when I walk the streets of London, I have a tag on my bag that says, "Hey, UK, take Savage off your list." So that's.
And wait, and you're not on a no-fly list for that? They'd rather let an underwear bomber on than you.
Oh, wait till the, oh, no. And my other my question is, so I just came home from a flight going from San Fran to New York, and I'm looking over, you know, the countryside, looking out the window for a second, and I'm thinking exactly what you said. God, global warming, why is everything like, you know, snow everywhere, like glaciers, snow.
Yeah, where's Al Gore? Take him on a flight across the country and shake him as you fly over the country.
I always say that. So where's Al Gore? Where's Al Gore? But anyway, the reason I'm calling is I hadn't been to San Fran for about 10 years. So I had a layover in San Fran. No sooner than I walk out of the hotel door, I mean,
bums.
Homeless
bums. Filthy, dirty, degenerate, sick bums assaulted you, right?
What is with that? I mean, it's not even just homeless. It's freaking
because
homeless.
We have a mayor in the city who has the same philosophy as the president of the United States. Left-wing fanaticism yields homelessness. It yields broken streets. It's unbelievable to me. You know, in Florida, the streets are paved. You can drive. The minute I got back to San Francisco, the streets were broken. The bums were everywhere. The propagandists were at work. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe how debased it is. But the reason you didn't like it was what? Were you here alone?
Well, I went out with a girlfriend, just taking a walk. Cause we know.
Nah, you see, that's why 10 years ago, you probably had a boyfriend, right?
Walking alone a lot. I mean,
but that you got to read in and out the garbage pail by that psychiatrist where he said, like, and he visited Dallas and he met a girl. He had a wonderful time and he loved Dallas. And then he went to Lexington, Kentucky to give a speech and he didn't meet anyone. He hated Lexington. I mean, our moods are affected by whether we're having a good time, Lisa. All due respects.
No, I had a great time. That wasn't.
I'm joking. Come on. I'm the kind of guy who pulls your leg.
Savage.
Visit TRNCentral.com, your one stop for news and all things talk radio. That's TRNCentral.com.